calling all members of the in crowd. If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. You can find us on Facebook, The Fade Route with DNZ. We're on Spreaker. We're on YouTube, The Fade Route with DNZ. Catch our videos. Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and spread the word. Order up! It is time for us to order up.
Order up, order up.
In honor of the NBA All-Star Game, we are going to order up the top five alternatives to actually watching the NBA All-Star Game. There are many. There are varied. I'm sure some are entertaining, some less so. But it can't be any worse than that All-Star Game. From 5 to 1, what do you got, D?
All right, so first up, no particular order here. I'm going with watching Taylor Swift celebrate a Kansas City touchdown. Number four. Watching Anthony Rendon play professional baseball.
That's like a lunar eclipse or like an albino tiger in the wild.
Yeah. Doesn't happen a lot.
No, absolutely.
Number three, watching the 2023 Patriots on offense.
Ugh.
Maybe a touchdown. Maybe the ball gets thrown backwards, gets intercepted somehow.
Bad.
Mac Jones going up and down the field, not completing passes.
Spiking people in the nuts.
Bailey Zappi getting some burn.
Best thing that can happen was Matthew Slater retiring. You're getting the hell out of there. Good for Matthew Slater.
What did he play, like 18 years? Something crazy.
19 years. 19 seasons. Crazy.
One team.
Congratulations on the Hall of Fame, Matthew. It's coming.
But his dad, I think, was a player,
Jackie Slater, yeah. Jackie Slater.
Yeah. His dad was a player. Number two. Watching a Bill Belichick press conference. We're on to Cincinnati. It was a good play. We got to play better. We all got to do better. I got to do better. Yeah, I'd rather watch 3 hours of that than watch the horse shit of the NBA All-Star Game. And the number one thing I'd like to do rather than watch the NBA All-Star Game is listen to Rick Pitino rip his team. Even though he kind of walked it back, then he didn't walk it back, then he apologized yesterday after they won. I like him ripping players. I like him ripping his team. Way to go, Skip. Welcome to the Queens.
We knew this was the case, right? St. John's ain't Iona. Like, it's just this.
But I'm fine with it. Everything he said is legitimate, dude. Like, how are you a power forward and you don't go to the foul line? Like, how the hell is that possible? The team went to the free throw shooting line 34, 38 times. It's because we can't move our feet. We're not athletic enough to get in front of people. We slap and grab. It's like he was saying the things and he's backing up what he's saying with proof of why he's saying they're unathletic. And why he's saying we don't play hard. You gave up a 19-point lead to bum-ass Seton Hall. Yeah, we're not athletic. We didn't play hard. They almost blew the game yesterday against the Hoyas. I'm watching the game like, God, this is so bad. We had another 20-point lead. And in the last 4 minutes, it's like they're down by six and they're just wetting threes. It's like, guys, someone's got to get out there. Someone run out there. Get in front of them.
But this is exactly what we were talking about before. It's just that style of coaching is kind of playing itself out. Like the calling out in the media and, you know.
But to his defense, I can't recall a time when he's ever done that. I don't recall Rick Pitino ever calling out his players to the media. Now, I don't know what he does behind closed doors, but I can imagine the frustration levels. Like, guys, I'm telling you what to do, and you're either not listening or you can't do it. Which is it? And I could see the frustration boiling over. Like, when I see him on the sideline talking to Chris Ledlam, I think he's going to punch him in his face. because I want to punch him in his face. He's the most irritating college basketball player to watch because I think he is so talented, but he just gets lazy and slow. And it's just like, come on, Chris, move your fucking feet.
And the other problem is that these guys were handpicked. You know, like he's part of the program, you know?
All right, so to defend that in some regard, right? He picked out of what was left, right? Like, this is what was left. Out of everybody else, this is what was left. The only thing I would say about it, and I don't have enough insight into the situation to really know, but I think he let some key players go. And I don't know if it was their decision to leave or he told them to leave. Because if I remember when he came in, he was like, you know, the only person, he was only really keeping one guy, and everybody was going to have to play for their spot, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, it might not have been the best attitude. I'm sure you wish you could have like Posh back. Posh is a great, he's a really good college player. I wouldn't say great, but he's a really good college player. I'm kind of sure you want him back. And it's just like, I don't think ripping your team to the media is going to get you more players. Like, I'm really, who's the player on Stepanak that's going to Kentucky? Like, that's a guy that should have been going to St. John's. And he didn't, you missed this recruit. Who is this guy? I think his father was a player. Basketball. I gotta look this up.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is what happens, you know? Like, he's not dealing with Kentucky. He's not dealing.
Fland. Okay. Boogie Fland.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to Kentucky. Dude could play. Dude could ball.
But like you're saying, there's a recruiting. There needs to be some recruiting going on locally. I mean, there's no reason why New York talent is leaving New York. Other than the NIL. Like, there's another, that's the other thing that he's on record saying with, you know, I'm sure that's not doing him any favors either.
Right. That's true. But my whole thing is like, if you are a basketball player, how could you not want to go play in Madison Square Garden for college and get coached by Rick Pitino? And before that, they had the guy from Arkansas. Before that, they had Chris Mullin.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch Richmond's the shooting coach. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, yeah, I'm going to play there. Chris Mullin's the coach and Mitch Richmond's the shooting coach?
And then you had Steve Lavin, too, at one point. Steve Lavin was there.
Lavin was a good coach.
He's a good coach, so, yeah.
I think NILs play into it. But you got to be able to recruit in your backyard. Like, you got to get the best guard in New York City should be going to St. John's to play basketball. That's a given. And, you know, so I don't think chewing your team out in the media is the right way to get it. But I get it. I get how frustrated he is because I'm frustrated. I'm just watching the game. I couldn't imagine coaching them all week and then watching this garbage.
No, I mean, even with all of that, it's still better than watching the NBA All-Star game. Because while you're not enthused with the effort, there's some effort there. So there's that. You know, he's just not good. It's okay. It's okay. He's in college. Like, it's okay. So for me, my number five is cleaning out my freezer, reorganizing, relabeling, and then alphabetizing as I put it back into the freezer. Does that sound tedious? Yes. Does that sound like it would take a long time? Maybe. Would it require more effort than an NBA All-Star is willing to put in during the game? Probably. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I want to be able to find my, you know, my little mini dumplings when I want them. That's okay. I want my chicken and cilantro dumplings and I'm going to find them because I know where they are. Number four. Watch highlights from the 2013 New York Mets season.
Marlon Byrd,
Justin Turner, before he became Justin Turner, DFA'd by the Mets. Schmucks, complete no schmucks. How do you put some of these guys out there? You know, these are your highlights. And I get it that Bernie made off with all the money, as Steve Summers once eloquently said. but you got to be able to put a more representative team out there. And you had Ike, you had David, you had guys on this team that could have been, in David's case, David Wright's case, he was one of the building blocks for the future. Ike Davis is one of the major what could have been, the whole Valley Fever thing and then tripping on David Wright in Colorado. It definitely stunted his growth, stunted the organization's growth. And 2013 was just a frustrating year. Number three, watching the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels Iron Man match from WrestleMania 12 and trying to stay awake. Every time I watch that match, I fall asleep about 20 minutes
in. That's crazy, man. Yeah. That's a really good match.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Bret fan. Like, you're a Bret fan, I'm a Bret fan.
My guy.
Yeah. I respect the hell out of Shawn Michaels. Like, they're both two super talented guys. But that match, for whatever reason, it just puts me to sleep.
That's the match where he ziplines in, right?
Yes.
Shawn ziplines in?
Yes.
And I think it goes into overtime, right?
Yep. Gorilla Monsoon and wobbled down and decided to put it into overtime.
And Shawn super kicks him for the win, right? For the dub?
Yep. He super kicked him and pinned him. And, the backstage story to me is more interesting than the actual match, because neither guy wanted to do the job. Neither guy wanted to take the first fall. So that's why we got an hour of near falls, because neither guy wanted to put the other guy over. And ultimately, it furthered the whole Bret Hart heel turn thing, because it laid the ground for the conspiracy theories and things like that. It was a draw. I could have walked away. You made me go and do five more minutes. So that kind of thing. So it made for good character work. But the match was just so fucking boring.
It's a good match. It's very technical. I think it's a great match.
I'm all for technical wrestling.
Who else was on the card that night? Because I think it was a really good card, wasn't it?
You had Roddy Piper and Razor Ramon. It was supposed to be Razor Ramon. It was Roddy Piper and Goldust. It was supposed to be Razor Ramon and Goldust, but Scott Hall left the company to start the NWO angle. So it was Roddy Piper and Goldust. They cut in the clips from the OJ White Bronco. You had Steve Austin versus Savio Vega. You had Jake Roberts, Ahmed Johnson. And Ahmed Johnson. Ahmed Johnson was a beast, man.
Big dude.
And he was a huge dude. He somehow got bigger when he went to WCW in 2000. So massive man.
Pearl River Plunge.
Yes, sir. You had Jake the Snake Roberts. You had Vader, Owen Hart, British Bulldog. You had really good. You had a lot of talent on that card. You had a crazy amount of talent on that card. And then, you had Taker and Diesel. Undertaker and Diesel was the semi-main event. So it's crazy.
Was Undertaker wearing a mask or no?
I think he was just on the tail end of that, because that was when Mabel leg dropped his face. So I think he was still wearing that. That fat bastard broke Taker's orbital bone. He's got a nice job, buddy. And just like that, I'm no longer a main eventer. But I don't know. I have to give that match a go. I've watched every other match on the card. I have. I need to watch that main event. So maybe that's something that I'll just fast forward to it and just watch it. Now that I'm not watching the All-Star game, I have the time. Number two, I can kind of rationalize where everything went wrong for the New York Giants since they won their last Super Bowl. We can pinpoint it draft pick by draft pick, free agent signing by free agent signing. Gettleman, Shermer, getting rid of Coughlin, McAdoo. I can write a whole friggin' dissertation on where the Giants went wrong, because a lot has happened. A lot has happened. And it would still be more entertaining. I'd be crying, probably. I'd be angry. I'd be throwing stuff. But still more passion than an NBA All-Star player. And my number one, I would do my long form lesson plans for the remainder of the school year and next year too. I'd be very, very well prepared. Right down to learning targets, standards, cross-cutting, the whole thing. The whole thing. Differentiation for every student, identifying my students with IEPs, the whole thing. The whole thing. Again, would it be tedious? Absolutely. Would it be necessary? It is necessary. But it would still be more productive. And at the end of the day, more conducive to something positive than watching the NBA All-Star game. But those are our lists. What are your lists? Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.